told him, I said, I'll comb its hair, and in other words, grass, and take care of it. And we have lots of wildlife out there, and I love that. I just love God's creation. And so I think God's creation sent me this message because something interesting happened on the dam. I thought the kids would like this. I was driving along the top of the dam, and I looked over in the middle of the road on the other side, right by the yellow line. There was a seagull laying on its back. And I thought, well, it looked like it moved. And so what I did was I went down to the end of the dam, turned my truck around and came back down the dam and turned my flasher lights on and stopped. And I got out and I looked at that seagull, and it was laying on its back, and its little feet were wiggling up and down. And when I walked up, it looked up at me, you know, like, pick me up, pick me up, pick me up. And so I got a shovel and tried to pick it up, and it kept jumping out of the shovel, so I finally had to get gloves on it and pick it up, and I put it in the back of the truck. Now, if I didn't, I don't think you probably know this. You need to know this. We have a rehab center there at the dam, at the old office. And if you find some wildlife that has been damaged or hurt, we've taken beaver over there. We've taken seagulls. I took a kingfisher one time. All kinds of animals we take over there. And they'll take those animals and try to recover them. I didn't know if you knew we had that, but if you'll go to the old office. So I took that seagull over to the old office, and I called the lady on her cell, and she met me there, and she immediately named the seagull Jonathan. Is anybody here named Jonathan? I don't know why she named it Jonathan, but anyway... She named it Jonathan, and she's a very interesting lady. She loves wildlife. Well, anyways, she took it in, and about a week later, she called me up and said, well, Jonathan has healed up enough. I think we can put him back out in the wild. And I said, well, wonderful. She said, now, what I want you to do is I want you to come over. So a ranger and I went over, and she said, now, I want you to, if we can, we'd like to get the person that found the wildlife to put them back out in the wild. And so I want you, if you would please, go with us. And it's over on Facebook. She took a video of it and said, I want you to launch Jonathan back out into the wild. So we went down to the launching ramp, and I picked Jonathan up and was going to launch him, you know, and he got really excited. I mean, he was just wanting to get back in that water and get him some fish. And so he reached his head around and pecked me on the hand. And I still got a scar here where he pecked me. You know, that's usually what happens when I try to help somebody. Sometimes they turn around and bite me. And don't mean don't try to help people. I'm just making a comment. But anyway, it reached around and pecked me on the hand, and it took me forever to get that hand to heal up. So anyways, I thought I would talk to you about the ark today. So there you go. But no, I really had this message on my heart. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the faith chapter. And I think it's appropriate that we go back and talk about some of the things that God spoke of as faith. So I want to stop at the story of Noah and talk to you just a minute about that. I've got some parallels that I think you'll find interesting. Now, chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is so important in our lives. See, faith is what visualized and brought this building here on this hill. You and others had faith, and you wanted to start a church, and so now we have this beautiful building. It's just beautiful, wonderful place to meet, just wonderful. And so for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Now God told Abel, he said, I want you to take an animal, I want you to take it over and offer it as a sacrifice. Now, why did God ask for the unblemished animal? Why was that? Well, it was because it was symbolic of Jesus who would come and die on the cross for us. And that was a symbol of our salvation, that Jesus would shed his blood for our salvation. Then Cain, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain didn't want to do that. And I could go on a sermon on that too, but I won't. I'll just mention that God came to Cain after this and said, he said, why are you angry? Why don't you do just like Abel did? Just do. You can do that. You're welcome to do that. And I'll bless you too. Now, isn't that indicative of the world we live in right now? We got two things going on. One is this little group here. Don't you worry about how many people you've got here. Don't worry about it. Do the best you can to come here and worship Christ and lift Him up to a lost and dying world. Now, that's your task. That's what you're supposed to do. Come here and do that. And God will give the results. You let Him give the results. But He told Cain, He said, why don't you do that too? And that's the two things that's going on in the world today. Us who love Christ and know He's the answer and want so bad for the rest of the world to know that. And then those who refuse Jesus. And that was exactly what was going on here. By which he obtained a witness that was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. He speaks. You know, I tell people often, and I'll tell you this, and incidentally, you've got the same problem I've got. And I tell people this often. I say, you know, I need to prepare to meet God. And I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I'm not satisfied with the do's and the don'ts. We all need to prepare to meet God. And so Abel speaks from the grave of his faith. Abel does. And by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony. He pleased God. Now, I want that testimony. I pray about that every day. God, help me in spite of myself to please you. Help me. I pray about that. He pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then the scripture that I want to use as a basis here, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, I could go and read all the story about the ark, but I want to make seven spiritual references to the ark, okay? Seven. And incidentally, I want to make seven spiritual references to the Titanic. I know all of you know about the Titanic. You know it's been in the news for years and years about the Titanic. And I want to do a parallel, and I think it's a good parallel of our own personal walk with the Lord. Number one, my spiritual reference here. Number one, the ark was designed by God to save from destruction and sin. That's what the ark was made for. You know the story. I don't have to go and read you all the story. You know what happened. They were in terrible sin in that day, just horrible sin. And it was an awful time. And so God said, the sin of man has come before me, and I have to destroy the world as it is, but I'm going to prepare an ark, and Noah, I want you to build that ark. Now, I suggest that that's exactly what you're doing here today. That you have an ark here, and it's called New Beginnings Baptist Church, and you're here in the ark on Sunday worshiping God, and you're speaking things about Him. You get your song program together. You do the best you can, and the world may drive by and make fun of you, but don't you pay one bit of attention to it. You just keep on. And so Noah spent his entire life, just imagine this now, he spent his entire life building an ark in a place where it never rained before. And God designed that ark, and it was His engineering and His request. And not only do I say that we are doing that here in our service today, that we're lifting up Christ, we're lifting up the things of God. The ark is symbolic of Jesus Christ, and I'll say a little bit about that in a moment. But I contend that each one of us have our own ark. And what I mean by that, we are in Christ and He's in us. And what do we do with that on a day-to-day basis? What do you and I do as Christians on a day-by-day basis? How are we witnessing to that lost and dying world around us as best as we can? Now, I don't mean to put pressure on you about that. I just mean simply do what you can. Do what you can. And so God designed this ark, and He was the one that designed it to save from the destruction of sin. Hasn't sin caused havoc in the world today? My friends, I'm deeply concerned about America, that we are under judgment, because I've heard many of you pray about abortion, and I'm right with you 100%. 100%. I've heard many of you discuss the news today. I told Carolyn, you know, it seemed like those last years before this election, it seemed like that the demons of Satan had been loosed on America. I've never seen such different things going on. The destruction of sin. And so God designed the ark for this purpose, to save from sin whoever would come into that ark. And may I point out to you that Noah and his family are the ones who went in the ark, but may I point out to you, anybody who would have come was welcome. If they would have come on and said, Noah, I'm with you, now I don't mean some sarcastic person who wasn't with them and what their goal was and what God had told them to do, but I believe you, I believe this God, I'm going to go with you, I'm going to help you. They had that opportunity. They had that choice, and they denied it. Now, let me give you a parallel. The Titanic was designed by men, and it was an awful design. I don't know if you know why the Titanic sank like it sank. It was said to be the most beautiful, luxurious ship of all times, the ultimate of travel on the ocean, but it had one major flaw. And if you like engineering, then you might probably already know what happened to that what happened to the Titanic. The problem with the Titanic was that the bulkheads on each section of that ship were left open. They then tie them off and seal them off. And just imagine it was just like an ice tray. You got an ice tray and you're floating it out on the river, and when the first ice tray fills up, then it begins to tilt, and then it begins to tilt, and the water runs over and runs over and runs over until it sinks. And this was exactly the problem with the design of the Titanic. I would say man has designed their own destruction with the sins of the world. That's my conclusion. And all you have to do is pick up the newspaper and read it. And you'll see, and you know this, you'll see what's going on. And so we have the ark designed by God, and we have the Titanic designed by man. And I and you choose the ark. We choose Jesus. We choose God. The second thing I want to bring out, it was built as a personal ministry of Noah. And I put this word in there, by his humble hand. And by his humble family. Now you can just imagine the family discussing this. God wants us to build an ark, and there's no rain, and so what are we going to do? Well, Noah says, well, God told us to build it, let's build it. Well, Dad, we believe you. God, we believe you. And so they began building that ark, and they began putting it together as God told them. Now, if you go back and read it in the Old Testament, there's very specific instructions on how to build that ark and how it was to be designed and how they were going to do it. Now, just imagine the engineering feat that this little family did in that day. Just imagine what they, you know, we get tired if we have to go get a chainsaw and cut some firewood, right? They had some of the most archaic tools of that day. Just imagine them falling those great trees and tying them together and building that ark, how difficult that was. And so I say to you, a lot of times our walk with God can be difficult. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be upset because things get difficult. Sometimes that's when God speaks to us the loudest, and that's when He works in us the greatest. When times get difficult, you know why that is? Because we begin to lean on God instead of ourselves. You don't need to lean on somebody else here in the church. I mean, you need to help one another. You need to encourage one. I don't mean that, but I mean you don't need to lean on someone else. You need to gather to lean on God and then help each other do that. That's what they did in that day. Now, here is the number two for the Titanic. It was built with an arrogant pride that failed terribly. They were arrogant in the way they built it. They built it for money's sake. They built it for speed. They did not build it for safety. And so we know there was a great tragedy. People today have turned their lives to money and sin and all sorts of things in their lives, and that's what they put their hope in. May I say to you, there's all kinds of religions that you can go with today. But the only religion that I know that is a truth is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and God's Son delivering us from evil and saving our soul for eternity. That's the only faith there truly is. And all these other faiths have so many things that they try to do to save themselves. I just can't believe, if you ever study the history of religion on earth, it's amazing what people will believe when all the time we have the truth in the way. Number three, the strongest ship ever built in the world was the Ark. Just think about that. The strongest ship ever built in the world was the Ark. And may I say to you, the strongest thing you can possibly do in your life is put your faith in Jesus Christ, who is a symbol of the Ark. The strongest thing we can do for ourselves and our family in this nation is promote Jesus to a lost and dying world. And so just imagine what this Ark accomplished. Just imagine what it went through. I had a sound effect that I was going to bring. I thought, well, better not. It might have copyright problems, brother. And so I decided not to bring it. But anyway, I had a sound effect of the oceans and storms over the oceans. And just imagine what this Ark went through, the kind of weather that it survived. That the ground literally burst open from asunder, and water came forth, and it rained, all the circumstances that it went through. And I contend to you that it was the strongest ship ever built on the face of the earth. The strongest ship ever built on the face of the earth. And I contend to you that we have a faith that will carry us through this life in Jesus Christ and bring us to eternal life through His salvation, through His power, and through His victory. So we have the way that we need to give to a lost and dying world. And then, number three, the Titanic was fatal and weak and had several flaws in it. There's a way for us to go in life that is fatal and weak and will bring destruction. The way for us to go is the way of the Ark. Number four, its direction was directed by God and God only. You see, the Ark didn't have any kind of propulsion. It didn't have any way to steer it. It was directed by God. And they got in that Ark, and wherever God wanted that Ark to go is where they went. And I say to you, wherever God wants you to go is where you ought to go. However God wants you to handle a circumstance is the way you ought to handle it. Now, I'm not saying I've done that every time. I'm telling you, I confess my faults to you. But I'm saying the way that we ought to do everything, and I think we can all say that, but the way we ought to do everything is the way God leads us to do it. And how do we know that? Well, here it is right here. This is His way. And we believe it from cover to cover. We follow it from cover to cover. Now, number four for the Titanic, it was pushed to catastrophe by its captain and the company that designed it and built it. The reason the Ark suffered such an extenuating blow when it hit the ice in the ocean, the reason that it was so damaged was because the company who built the Titanic was pushing the captain, and the captain was pushing to push the speed of that Titanic to the maximum. They were trying to get to New York City in a record time, and they pushed it even though they knew that they were in very dangerous waters. And so when it hit the iceberg, it suffered a catastrophic damage that killed the majority of people on that ship. Now, can you not read this in the current news today? Aren't people wrecking their lives with all sorts of things? I think about Steve Jobs, who developed the Apple phone. And I don't put you down if you got an iPhone. I got an iPhone that I use at work. They give it to me to use at work. But I think about him. If I ever knew a man who obtained all the world's wealth that a fellow could possibly obtain, it was him. Just look at how he changed the world with the iPhone. I mean, that iPhone goes off and everybody looks to find their iPhone, don't they? And but then he died 57 years old. Now, I don't mean to run him down. That's not my point at all. My point is all in the wealth in the world, everything. It was said that when President Trump allowed the companies to bring their cash back, that I think I might have that wrong, is $270 billion that Apple Corporation had off-sea that they brought back to America. $270 billion, I think the figure was. But all the money in the world, when it came down to it, could not do a thing for the CEO of Apple. Now, I don't mean to run him down. I don't mean to run Apple down. I mean to tell you, the only thing that could save any of us is Jesus Christ and His salvation that He gave us for eternal life. And so what are you putting your faith in? What are you looking to? Well, I'll have to say I wish that I looked and spent as much time in the Bible as I do on my Android or on my iPhone. Now, I'll just make that statement. I wish that we would spend that much time on the things of God, okay? I hope you're finding this interesting. When I put this together, this is very interesting to me. Five, when God gave it to me anyway. Number five, about the ark. It was completely self-contained by God's hand, fully sufficient. Now listen to this, fully sufficient to sustain all of creation. Now think about that. I mean, wasn't this ingenious? Wasn't this amazing that God could take a little piece of wood built by a man's hand at His direction and put the entire creation in it and sustain creation? And I say to you, in everything in our lives, if we will put them completely in the hands of God, that He will sustain all that is in our lives. I know that I was talking about this morning, many of these nations that we know about around about us, their little people are persecuted because they love Christ. They're under persecution. But God is working a mighty work amongst them, and people are being saved we don't know anything about. They're being saved left and right while they're in this persecution. And I'm just saying, no matter what state we find ourselves in, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, that Christ is the answer and God is our way. And He will sustain you. He will take care of you. Now, at this moment, I want you to do something for me. And you can peek if you want to. If you don't want to, it's fine. But I want you to do something. I want you to do with me, I'm going to count to seven, okay? Because I got 7 points, I'm going to count to seven. I want you to close your eyes until I count to seven. Close your eyes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, could you see what the next person was doing? I couldn't. I didn't look at you. I couldn't see. Why did I ask you to do? Well, what I'm trying to get you to see and for us to understand is when it comes down to it, this whole thing, this church, this faith that we're in, BMA of America, United States of America, when it all comes down to one thing, and that is your and my personal relationship with God. I cannot vouch for you. I cannot make you to do anything. But I can vouch for me. I can get myself to do what I should do. And one of these days, I will shut my eyes for the last time, and it will be between me and God. It will be between us. And one of these days, you will do the same. And all the things that we thought were so important vanish away. And the one important thing is that we're looking to a God who will sustain us through Jesus Christ. And so God sustained the entire creation of the world in the ark. Number five on the Titanic, it could not sustain life due to human error, due to human sin. It was a tragedy that was remembered forever in history. And it was a tragedy that could have been avoided. And I point out to you, what we're doing here today is so important. Please don't underestimate who you are. Please don't underestimate this church. And I don't say you're doing that. I don't mean that. I'm just saying that the fact that you're here today as witness to the world around you, and that what we are doing today is the most important thing we can do in life, because when it comes down to it, what God is going to remember is those times that we've spent with Him. That's what He's going to remember the most. And then number six for the ark. The ark was a symbol of salvation in Jesus Christ, He in us, and us in Him. That's what the ark really means. I told the class this morning about my personal experience of salvation, and I think I've told it to you in the audience before, so I won't go through that, except to say to you, there was a moment in time when I bowed my head and ask Christ to forgive me of my sins and to be my personal Savior. And I'll never forget it. I will never forget it. And the ark is a symbol of that act. That is, when Noah and his family entered that ark, they knew the day that they closed the door, they knew the day that the rains came and fell, and they knew good and well that God had brought salvation to them. And could have been to anybody that wanted to go with them that would have turned their heart to God. So that was the day of their salvation of the great flood. And that day, and I wonder at this moment if you would think about the time that you came before Christ and you asked Him to be your personal Savior. Number six for the Titanic. The theme of worldliness, lust, pride, and pride brought great death and destruction. Great death and destruction. I've never seen a time where sin has abounded such as it has today around the entire world. Now, it says in the Scripture that the last days will be as the day of Noah. And is that not true? Isn't that the way it is? So let me go back over here to number six on the ark. I am so glad I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. Oh, I wish that I had done better. I wish that I had done more. I wish that I hadn't done some things. But I'm glad that Christ is in me and I'm in Him. And the task that you got before you is that simple thing. And how do you do that? Well, I think it's just simply your acquaintances that you share. When is it when we're around the dinner table and we just break out and say, you know, I love Jesus. I love His Word. Shouldn't we do that more and more? Just do the simple things to follow after Christ. And then the last thing that I want to bring out, the ark completed its complete mission of redemption of life. That's what this church is. It's on a mission of redemption through Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing here. We're on a mission to see others know Him. We're on a mission to practice our faith in Him. We're on a mission to worship Him. We're on a mission to praise His name. We're on a mission to save the world. He is the only way. There's no other way. And whosoever will, we invite you to come. Come and sing with us. Come and listen to the Word of God. Come and study with us. Come to the God's house and do the best you can to follow Him and walk with Him and let Him do the work in you, in your church, in your situation. Let Him do the work. I know a preacher that I think a lot of and remember even to this day, and he told me one time he was in a hotel room and he had drank himself out of his mind, had been doing that over and over and over. And finally one day, he said, why am I doing this to myself? I'm destroying myself. I'm sick all the time. I'm sick of it. And he looked over there, and there was a Gideon's Bible. He said, I opened that Bible, and I read the plan of salvation. His name was Ken Miller. He's a pastor over in Arizona. He said, I read that with a ceiling just swimming around and around, and there I got on my knees where I had messed up the floor by throwing up. I got on my knees, and I asked Jesus to forgive me and be my personal Savior. And at that moment, he said, my life changed forever. Let me read this to you one more time. The ark completed its complete mission of redemption for life. And I say to you that Jesus will complete His mission for redemption of mankind, including you and me, and whoever will come to Him, He will complete it. And you can write that down and have faith in it. And then the last thing about the Titanic, it failed in its mission of redemption. It failed to get those who got aboard to their destination safely. It went down and sunk, leading many of them to death. What a difference. Isn't there a great difference? Aren't you thankful you're here this morning? Not because you're listening to me, but aren't you thankful you're here tomorrow? We're talking about Jesus and what He's done for us and how marvelous He's been, and He is our salvation and He is our hope, and we're in Him and He's in us. Aren't you happy? Isn't it wonderful that He's done this for us? I brought a Gideon tract with me. I'm just going to read just a little bit of it. It says here, will you let Him be your Lord and Savior? That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 through 10. And I'm just reading part of this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5 and 24. John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved." And then Isaiah 55:6-7 says this, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, I remember that night there in that little church, little Beacon Baptist, over on 12th Street in Little Rock, Arkansas. Carol and I went back over there here a while back, and I took a picture of it. Little bitty church. It's a different faith now. I don't know what they're doing, but I know that's where I was saved. And I got out and walked around and looked at it, thought about that time I was sitting out there just like you, and asked Jesus to be my personal Savior. And he did that. Now let me finish by rereading this verse right here. Chapter 11, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of Jesus of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is in faith." And that's what we're doing here today. That's who we are. By faith, we're trusting Christ. By faith, we look to God through Jesus. Now, I don't know what you might have in mind today. Let me explain, and I know you're a seasoned group, and you know all this. You know basically all I've said. But invitation is for you. It's not for us to, wonder what they did or what. That's not what it's all about. The reason we give an invitation is because Jesus invites us to respond to his word. And so in this invitation, if you want to come and pray, come and pray. Should there be someone here who never asked Christ to be their Savior, come and do that. Whatever the need is, invitation is simply for that. And we are requested of God to give an invite. And that's what witness is all about. We invite people to come and do their bidding with Christ. Not me. I can pray with you. But I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and God and Christ is your answer. So if you have a need at this invitation, you can come and we'll discuss it. Or you might want to come and just pray. Or you might want to come and pray for somebody. But this is your invitation. Would you stand with me, please? I hope that you've got something out of this message today. I felt like it was delivered to me by a special delivery by a seagull and the Holy Spirit. I really did enjoy. I always enjoy coming. You've got a lovely church. You're a wonderful people. And you just keep going on doing what you're doing. So I'm going to ask to sing, if you just sing a couple of verses of invitation. If you have something, come on, and we'll pray about it and we'll talk about it. What will we sing, brother?